Live and local with Monica Jay on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. This segment is brought to you by HireMeNevada.com.
Well, the day's finally here. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Yes, it is finally here. Today is Count the Homeless Day. All right, it's not actually called that, but pretty close. It's Point in Time Homeless. Point in Time. Well, we have some interesting interviews for you today here on the Monica Jay Show at 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, because it's your live and local FM talk show, talk station. You need to be aware of what's really going on, how people are being treated, how citizens are being treated, that speak up and want you to know what's going on. And for the people who do know what's going on, for the people who are tired of it, sick and tired of it, I will do whatever I can do to support law enforcement. Raise money, give hugs, help, whatever I need to do. But when law enforcement or representatives turn on the community, then you need to know about it. So in a little bit, we'll be bringing you just some sound, not right now, but we'll bring you some sound from an incident that happened yesterday. We talked a little bit about it at the end of the show. Paul White was out at Pickett Park with a group of volunteers to do citizens' arrests, to get people, to do their job. So it's sad. It's very sad. So Paul White from QOL-Reno.org, Quality of Life Reno, and Tim McGivney have been working tirelessly to help bring awareness to the homeless situation here in Washoe County. And specifically the city of Reno. Because I found out a very interesting fact the other day. People were asking, why do the numbers keep growing here? Why doesn't Sparks have a problem? Well, I learned this from very reputable city workers, people in charge. See, it's this thing. I know it is so weird, but get this. Sparks has this thing about no camping on the Truckee River. You can't do it. Here's the weird part. They let their law enforcement enforce the law. I know, right? What the hell? So what they do is they push him to Reno. But here's the troubling thing. Actually, they did this just a few weeks ago. But here's the other troubling thing. This isn't new. This didn't just happen this year or last year. This has been going on for years. Years and years and years. How many times has Hillary Sheevy been reelected? How long has she supposedly served this community? Yeah. So to my producer, I'm going to have Paul White call into the show so he can give us a description of what really went on. But I'm going to have our producer play cut one of this audio that I have for you. So, producer Craig, go ahead and play cut one.
You know what? Okay, we went the other day with three of those.
What do you need us here for, Paul?
Joe Robinson.
Hello, Joe. Just a sign, citizen sites on everything here.
They're willing to sign citations?
Oh, everyone.
Okay, here's the deal.
What?
Boise V. Martin says we have to give these people the opportunity to leave, which we're going to do.
Okay.
If they do not leave, then we will cite them in the community court.
Okay, What's the time frame?
We're going to give them a reasonable amount of time to gather their things and go.
Today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like if tomorrow morning, if they'd all be there, what would the option
be? If they're all here tomorrow, you want to come back down and we can do this whole process over again.
But then they could be cited, right?
No, they'll be given the opportunity to leave per Martin v. Boise.
Ah, Joe, we got two legal opinions.
I'm not going to argue with
you. Neither.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Your city
attorney. I'm not going to argue with you, Paul.
Well, dude,
I'm not going to argue with you, Paul.
No, so I'm not arguing. I'm saying just tell me.
I'm going to tell you that's what we're going to do.
That you
that's the process that
I
we're going to follow.
I can't sign a citizen cite on these guys.
Not per Martin v. Boise. They have the opportunity to leave. That's what we're going to do. That's the process we're going to go through.
So they can break the law every single day.
Anybody that stays, you could be more than happy to sign a citizen complaint on or a citizen's arrest on.
What's the amount of time you're giving them?
A reasonable amount
of
time.
Well, that's why I said, come on, Joe. This wouldn't stand up in court for a second.
Okay. Well, then take it to court, Paul. You've already created a contentious relationship with yourself and the police department.
No, you called this.
No,
I tried to sit down with you. Refused to.
I'm not going to have a sit-down conversation with you when you're calling for a note of vote confidence against Chief Soto. You've called me a liar in your hot sheet.
Did you
not? We're done. I'm going to go through my process. My officers are going to go through the proper process. Anybody that's left, I will come approach you, and you can sign a citizen complaint for that. Other than that, we're done talking.
So you're not saying where anything is, what the time is, any of this, right? Get it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. There you have it. That's your local law enforcement dealing with the homeless situation at Pickett Park. And it's just very sad that because people are trying to get things done, that law enforcement won't even talk to somebody, especially the person spearheading it. Local radio stations won't talk or let Paul White on the air to talk about it. How much do we have to bury this to know that there is a serious problem with homeless, especially along the Truckee River? So I just picked one of the articles about the big in-time homeless count. And again, it goes back to what's actually being done. So it's a 24-hour operation, about 50 volunteers, and about 30 police officers. Last year's count, they say, was 226 people. Do you really believe there's only 226 people that are homeless on the streets here of Reno? Homeless also includes, you know, those who have moved off the streets because they found a couch to surf on for a little bit. If last year's count was 226, why don't we have 300 beds available at different locations? Or maybe we do. Maybe we just continue this problem because it gets the city money, it gets the county money. It's just, it's sad. We have boots, but until we have boots on the ground to interact with our residents face to face, see their challenges, see their struggles, and get an accurate count of how many people are out there, we don't know what's best to allocate resources. The homeless keep saying what they need every single day. Who's not listening? One of the big things that I hear is, well, I don't have an address, so I can't get, you know, my mail, my checks. You know what? There are places all over town that you can have a physical address. There are companies that actually do that. If you want to go through the city, or you want to go through the shelter, maybe, Volunteers of America, why not just have a physical address and a mailbox system set up? It doesn't even have to be inside the building. Have lockboxes outside the building. You know, the way the rest of us get our mail. But you have an address. These are simple fixes, people. We just don't have anybody doing them. Paul White's joining me right now on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Paul, we've only got a couple of minutes, and then I'm going to take a break, but I'm going to have you stay on the line for that. From that first soundbite we just played, first off, thank you for joining me on the show.
Good morning.
I appreciate your time.
I appreciate yours. who they were hearing there was the lieutenant in charge of the homeless division, and basically, Monica, that park could have been cleaned out yesterday with one officer, one squad car, a couple of hours, about $300 of taxpayers' money, and the park could be clean. Instead, because the stubbornness and the misunderstanding of Boise Martin on the part of the police department, they sent over six high-ranking officers, four police cars, two maintenance trucks, sat around doing nothing all day watching the people clear out, spent about $3,000-$4,000 of taxpayer money, and our way, citizen sites, they would have all been arrested and had to go to court. The way they did it yesterday, they spent $3,000-$4,000, didn't issue one ticket. People could come back in there this morning.
And their stuff was being thrown away. You know, that's where I look at the people who are homeless. It's like, help these people get a place to land and stop throwing their stuff away just because it's easy.
Well, but see, Mike, what they've got is, you notice we've got a permanent challenge on our site. You can't bring us one person, not one, on the street out of the entire city who we can't immediately get them employed and housed. There's stuff just everywhere. This group out there on the street, they're vagrant by choice. The homeless aren't visible because they're in programs. The legitimately homeless, every single person, without exception. Prove us wrong, we'll shut down our operation. Every single person out there on the street, every single one, has an option. I got a call morning from... Go ahead, I'll hold till next time.
Okay, yeah, stick around because we've got more from your law enforcement. And you know, don't be ragging on me that I'm picking on law enforcement because I will do anything for them. But hide the truth. So... we'll be back right after this on The Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
The FM, new news and talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. We're taking the homeless issue head on. So here's another little soundbite from yesterday morning at Pickett Park. Give a listen.
Are you the victim of that storm?
Yes, sure am. I'm a part of the community that feels stuff.
Okay. I'm done talking to you, Paul.
No big deal.
I'm handling your complaint.
No, you're not. I asked, why'd you let the man leave a stolen property?
What stolen property?
Shopping cart.
From what shopping cart?
You had a sign on it.
What is it?
Walmart.
It's Walmart. I'm here handling your. Do you work for Walmart? Are you employed by Walmart? Are you the victim of Walmart? No, you're not.
I'm a victim of crimes that go on.
All of you, I'm done talking to you. I'm handling your complaint for policy.
Wow. Paul White's joining us from Quality of Life Reno, QOL-Reno.org. Paul, from what I understand, Officer Stahlkopf is no longer the homeless liaison. Who is the new liaison?
No, Sergeant Stahlkopf has a different specialty within the division. Lieutenant Joe Robinson is overall, I think they call it maybe community activity or something, but it's basically the homeless division. And that was his voice you heard saying, something stolen, if it wasn't stolen from you, why would you say anything? What do you care about it? If anybody in the community had stuff stolen.
That was extremely condescending.
Oh, boy, yeah. Yeah.
So but what they, happened? What was the end result of Pickett Park yesterday?
Oh, the end result is it got swept completely clean on about $4,000 of taxpayer money when it could have been done for $300. And also, they did it refusing to issue any tickets, just kind of basically trying to intimidate the homeless to leave, so they weren't giving them a ticket. And so none of them got tickets. The city spent $4,000, and those people could come right back in here tomorrow, today, with no consequences. Our way
would have ticketed everyone. Well, today is the official, point in time count, so
right.
I'm sure they want them to be somewhere. Now, I thought that Carl Hall, the city attorney, I thought he was actually working on this to straighten out the whole Boise Martin decision that, we don't have to just ignore the homeless or tell them to move.
Well, a few months ago, Boise Martin came out and the ruling was really general, Monica, and it allows a lot of latitude for cities to do a lot of things. It in no way says you've just got to let them lay around everywhere, anywhere, do anything they want, and you got to pay for it. One of the attorneys in Carl's office put together a great presentation for the city hall to encourage the council to get involved with countless other cities to see how they could work collaboratively to get a reasonable interpretation on Boise Martin. And countless cities were involved. Our mayor, specifically, Hillary Sheehy, said, nope, we not only don't want to even hear your ideas, but we're not going to plan to schedule them for any time in the future either. What reason, Monica, could there be for not even wanting to hear from a really nicely put together presentation, which I read, from the city attorney's office that could help Reno get a better handle on this? What reason could there have been for not even wanting to hear it?
I can think of a few, but I'm going to keep that to myself for right now because they're not very positive. Now,
yeah.
I get this. This is something we need to help figure out. Is I made the suggestion of getting homeless people mailbox, a physical location that they can get their mail. And Mike's just sent me an email suggesting the homeless get mailboxes is a great idea. Unfortunately, the Patriot Act, which I believe is unconstitutional, prohibits anyone from opening up a bank account unless the address they provide is a residence. If they already have a bank account, they can continue to use it. The law also prevents retired people who want to travel the country in a motorhome as their only residence from opening up a new bank account. So what is this that they can't even say, put a bank of mailboxes at the shelter?
Well, a couple thoughts. First, anybody on the street can get their mail at BOA. They've I've only heard positive things about that particular service. So, and we know people personally who have. So they can do that right away. Now, not too many weeks ago, we helped a woman who was living in the shelter set up a bank account for her Social Security checks, and she was able to give the address of whatever they give for VOA, and there was no problem with the bank. So we just can't say it long and loud enough, Monica, that the four basic things you hear, no food, affordable housing, employment, or mental health treatment availability, they couldn't be more untrue. Every one of those is in abundance. Like I say, we have a standing offer with anyone who will just be sober, law-abiding, willing to work, and get mental health if they need it. We'll get them off the street instantly. Instantly. How's been working within like 72 hours. And so it gets down to the 1,000 people is the number I've actually heard on the street. They're there not for any of a lack of any of those four things. They're there because they're just not wanting to deal with getting into a legitimate lifestyle, and mostly the clean and sober part. And so then the question is, well, then what do you do to do that? And doesn't the starting point have to be simply enforcing the law? I'll be interested in listening to your guest this morning, because my own homeless
parent, and he just showed up. So we're going to take a quick break. Paul White, thank you so much for joining us, and all you do. I know you're not getting that from the city or from law enforcement, but thank you so much for all you do. And
thank you,
for just, you know, trying to help people. Quality of Life Reno, that's QOL-Reno.org. You can find out more and find it in writing, your hot sheet and all that good stuff. Know about things that are going on first with Paul and the team. So we will be right back with a dear friend of mine, Bill Muck, who actually went out on the streets and became homeless for a week. And it changed his life. Literally, it changed his life. We'll be right back on the Monica Jay Show here on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Got a different opinion? We've got your 50,000-watt megaphone, 99.1 FM Talk. Call 884-9910, KKFT.
And I love those different opinions. Educate me, just like Mike did. You know, about the Patriot Act and bank accounts. We get the information out and we, well, work around it. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I'm so glad you're here today. We're tackling the homeless, vagrant, mentally ill issue straight on. So I had to turn to a friend of mine because I knew his story and what he had done. And I know him through his creative genius, because he painted my pups, my fur babies for me. And it's an item I cherish. And it's one of those things that you always remember. And he touched my life so much, he and his wife, that I've just always followed him. So my guest today is Bill Muck. Bill, thank you so much for coming in.
Good morning, Monica. Thank you for inviting me. I have a unique perspective on the homeless situation, as you well know, in that I have actually had the opportunity on two separate occasions to become homeless, not by necessity, but by choice. And it was just a desire inside of me to understand that world and that culture and what they go through and what it means to be a homeless person on the city of streets of Reno. I say this with absolutely no pride at all, but I was the guy that 20 years ago, I would roll down my window when I saw a homeless person begging on the side of the streets and yell at him, get a job. You know, get a job, get a haircut, believing that that's all that they would need, mm-hmm. and that their life would be fine. The 2014, I was a first-year student at Multnomah University. It's the only Bible college in the state of Nevada. And I was taking a class called cultural engagement. And the term project for that course was to engage into a culture that you knew nothing about. So some people went to Indian reservations and studied their ways, and some people went to Buddhist temples. I chose to become homeless. And I will tell you that the director of my school pulled me aside and said, Bill, you don't really want to do this. This is dangerous. And I recognized that it was dangerous. And I worked very closely with a couple of the Reno Police Department folks to kind of map out an area where I could maintain my safety, but still get a good feeling for what it was like to be homeless. So on Monday morning, my wife drops me off at the Greyhound bus station, and all I have is a backpack. Now, because I had had some time to prepare for this, I grew a beard. I went down and got the ugliest, oldest clothes that I could, the ones that just looked horribly ratty and horribly filthy. And so I truly looked the part. And for a week, I walked up and down this city streets as a homeless person. But what that gave me was an insight to how my heart needed to change and how what it was like to actually live on the streets and depend on other people when you have nothing. I grew up in middle-income America. I grew up in a suburb of Denver. I never knew what it was like to not just be able to walk across the hallway and get a cup of coffee anytime I wanted. So this was the end of March 2014, and it was just brutally cold. Over the course of that week, I walked into 11 different casinos. The only reason I wanted to go in was just to warm up because it was so cold on the streets. It was snowing. The winds were blowing, and I just wanted to warm up. I was freezing. 11 different casinos over the course of the week. 10 of them kicked me out, and the record was 16 seconds. So I would walk in the front door, and immediately I would be looking for the security guards because they had already seen me. And they kind of put me on a watch list, you would say. Mm-hmm. They watched every move that I made. And so I would walk in. I had an old dirty ball cap, had my backpack, a dirty trench coat covering me. They knew that I didn't belong there. I'd walk to a chair, and I'd sit down. And I'd pull the ball cap down over my eyes, and I'd just start counting. 16 seconds.
Wow.
The security guard was there making me not just leave the building, but leave the property. And I was like, I just want to warm up. I just want to just a few minutes. But he knew I wasn't there to gamble. He knew I wasn't going to spend money there. And let's face it, I get it. Reno is a tourist-driven town. And we want to protect that income that's vital to us.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time,
being homeless, you make people gambling, having a good time, uncomfortable.
Well, I certainly imagine that. And I understand that I didn't belong there.
Right.
And I just wanted just a few minutes to warm up. Now, I told you that 11 of them, of the 11 that I went into, 10 of them kicked me out. The one exception, I'm not going to name who it was, but the one exception, I walked in, I sat down, did my normal routine, sat down in a chair, pulled my hat down, and the security guard came up to me and said, "Excuse me, sir, can I get you anything? Do you need a ride or something?" Monica, that was the only person the entire week that showed me the least bit.
Okay, now I have to know. What casino was it?
It was Circus Circus.
Circus Circus.
Yeah. They actually showed me the only kindness that I had the entire week. Because what I realized very quickly was that nobody wants you around when you're homeless. When you look like you don't belong, you're filthy, you stink, you have no way of taking a shower, nobody wants you around. Every drugstore that I walked into, every gift shop that I walked into, up and down Virginia Street, they would continually follow me around as if they thought I was going to steal from them.
But aren't those services out there, the ability to take a shower? I mean, where did you go for those meals, for that help?
I went to where they went. And that was the beauty of it, is because I pastor a church. If I go down there in my suit and my tie, carrying my Bible, the first thing that they're going to feel is that I'm judging them, and they're not going to talk to me. But mm-hmm. by being one of them, I was actually able to get them to open up and tell me like what they go through, and it just literally changed my whole opinion. Because it's one thing to hear the stories. I could have read reports. I could have seen documentaries on what it's like to be homeless. But until you actually experience it, you don't have an idea of what they have to deal with every single day, things that we take for granted. Yes, there's places to get showers. Yes, there's places to get food. And I took advantage of those when they were open. But one thing I quickly realized is that being homeless in the city of Reno means that you are condemned to a life of standing in lines. You have to be at certain places at certain times in order to get those services. And, for example, in order to be able to be fed at some of the relief centers that we have set up around town, you have to be there like at 6 o'clock in the morning, standing in line to get your name on a list. And once you get your name on the list, then you have to leave the premises, go do whatever you do during the day, be back in time to claim that, in this case, it was a meal. You have to be at a certain time and be one of the ones in line and have your name on a list. And so I spent hours and hours and hours just standing in lines so that I could get food, I could get a bed for the night. That whole experience just literally changed my entire opinion of our homeless community, because I for the first time, I understood what they have to go through. And we think that so many times it's because people choose that. And I get that. There's a lot of people that do choose to be homeless. But I will tell you that I met story after story after story out there on the street of people who didn't want to be there, people who hated the fact that they were homeless. And so I'm going to fast forward now about 5 years. So now 2019, I was talking at Multnomah University about my experiences. And one of the pastors there said, you know, I minister to the inner city, and I don't know what they go through. Would you consider doing it again? And so it took me about 20 seconds to think about it. And I said, yeah, I would love to. I'd love to do it again, because now it's been 5 years later.
Yeah.
And I want to know what's changed. And so this time, instead of being bitter cold, we did it in the end of July, first part of August of 2019. It was just miserably hot. It was 108 degrees every day. We had the California forest fires were just, there were just a huge, huge layers of smoke every single day. And that experience, it showed that we made some progress, in my opinion. I mean, and I can only speak from my own experience. We walked into casinos, only a couple of them ever threw us out. We went to some of the same agencies, and I don't know if it was because of the fires that we had so many people from California here who were seeking refuge at the same time, but the treatment that I received was dramatically different. And so from that, I can say we have made some huge gains, but we have so far to go. And just,
well, it seems like we have more homeless, and they're spreading out. And we've heard from water officials that, especially living along the Truckee River, the sewage, the waste going into where we get our drinking water from,
right.
Needles everywhere. I had a gentleman who was hiking with his son just down south Reno along one of the river areas down there, and they were finding needles down there.
Right.
You know,
and
away from downtown.
That the one thing that I have learned out of this entire experience is how complex the problem is. And there's not going to be any quick solution. I mean, you said a few moments ago how it's been an ongoing problem for years and years and years, and it's not going to go away overnight, and we're foolish to think that it will. But this experience showed me one facet of it, and it's so many different facets. So while I was homeless, I talked to some of the business owners down on 2nd Street, a coffee shop down there, and kind of talked to him about my story and what I was doing. And so he said, you know, as a business owner, he said, I would love to help these homeless people. I would love to let them come in and use my restrooms. But he said, if I do, first of all, I'm going to have needles. I'm going to have trash. They're not going to respect it. And that's going to affect my customers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, I get that. He's got a business to run. He has to make his payments just like we all do. He has to be able to pay his payroll. And with people who are a potential danger hanging around, he's not going to be successful. I understand that. And I also understand the point of view from the police department, because I had an opportunity to witness several different instances where the police department had been called. And I got to tell you that they were extremely respectful. They were extremely cordial. But they did uphold the law. They made people move. This was down on 4th Street, down by the old bus station. There were people that were camped out there. And they did make the move, and they were incredibly respectful, not only to the people that were there, but to me. And they didn't know that I wasn't homeless. But I had a chance to talk with them. See, the problem is, from the homeless point of view, the cops are the bad guys. If I have no place to go, I can only walk up and down Virginia Street so many times. Mm-hmm. I can only, if I stop in the park and just try to catch a quick nap or something, I'm going to get moved on by the cops. The cops are always the ones that I'm on the lookout for, because they're the ones that are going to make me move or make me go to, they're going to arrest me, take me to their holding facility. And so from the standpoint of the homeless, the cops are the bad guys. And I made a statement on Facebook when I did this about the cops harassing the homeless. And one of my friends, who's a very dear friend, who's a patrolman, said, you know, we're not the bad guys in this. And we had some ensuing conversations that made me understand that these guys are out there doing a job. They're called by the mayor to do certain things. We, as private citizens, expect our streets to be safe and clean. Mm-hmm. We expect not to be able to be harassed when we go down the Riverwalk. We expect not to have to trip over needles and drug paraphernalia. And we have that right as citizens, and we expect that right. We expect that from our city leaders. We expect that from our law enforcement.
I'm going to hold you right there. We got to take a quick break. And then we're going to be back with more from Bill Muck and his experience actually on the streets of Reno. Coming up after this on The Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk and 99.1FMTalk.com.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thanks for being here today. If you've got a question or a comment for Bill, 884-9910, or just continuing on with our conversation with my guest, Bill Muck, who is a senior pastor at Trinity Baptist Church in Sparks, also spent a week at different times on the streets being homeless, to try and give us the insight of what's going through a person's mind. Bill, we had just stopped the segment at working with law enforcement.
Right. So what I have seen is that this is a very, very complex problem. It's much like an onion. The more you peel it, the more layers there are. We want to try to fix the problem with a broad brush solution, but there's just no way to do that. I mean, the cure is going to be as diverse as the homeless community. Mm-hmm. And there are plenty of people out there who want to be there. They don't want to follow the rules. They don't want to abide by society's requirements. And so they choose the life of a homeless person.
Well, and that's where I look at some people that I get it. If there's a mental illness or a drug addiction, and the difference between somebody who needs help, they're just down because of the camps that are popping up. You know, they keep them dirty. They don't throw stuff in bags or in trash cans. They just create this environment that says to the outside world, stay away from me.
Right.
I've chosen this as my spot.
Right. And there are plenty of people who have made a career. I never heard this term until I was actually among them, but there's what they call shelter hoppers. So you're allowed to stay in the shelter in Reno for a given period of time. And at that period, at the expiration of that time, you're basically termed out. You can't go back to the shelter for another 6 or 8 months. So a lot of people will simply get on a Greyhound bus, go up to Boise, Idaho, and start all over again. And then they'll go from Boise, Idaho to Redding, California. And so they just make a life out of shelter hopping from one city to another. And they're just like a nomadic little community, a tribe. And most of them know each other, and most of them have been doing this for quite some time. These people choose to be there. And I don't know how you're going to get rid of them. I don't think you can legislate it. I don't think you can arrest them out of that type of lifestyle. So I understand that there are certain people that want to be there, but there's so many people that are a victim of where they are. I talked to a young lady who had left her relationship because she didn't dare go home. It was an abusive relationship, and she knew if she went home that what was waiting for her, and it wasn't going to be very pleasant. She probably would have been either abused or even killed. She was afraid for her life to go home. So she left with everything that she could carry, but that's all she had. And she's out on the streets. These people, some of them don't have the resources. They don't know where to turn.
Committee to Aid Abused Women.
Well, you and I know about them, but yeah, many people don't. And so these people that are on the streets that don't know where to go, those are the ones that we can help. The second time that I was homeless, I was walking down the street. It was, and I went with another.
Oh, don't start that story. We've got to take a hard break right here, but we'll be back. And we need to talk about this resource thing, because if we need to let people know where they are, we need to do a better job of it.